Good afternoon, and welcome to Middle East in Focus. I'm Esty Chandler. Earlier this year, the California Coalition to Defend Public Education, a diverse and growing coalition of over 85 organizations, including teacher organizations, parent groups, civil rights groups, religious congregations, and ethnic studies advocates, came together to protect free and open dialogue on all issues in California public schools. The coalition strongly opposed California Assembly Bill 715 and has spent months communicating, educating, and advocating with California legislators and their staffs about the dangers of the bill as they respectfully urge them to oppose it. While framed as a bill to reduce anti-Semitism in schools, the bill fails to create or even support a safe climate for rational, educational discussion of controversial issues, and does nothing at all to establish a secure, meaningful, or constructive learning environment. Instead, AB 715, promoted by members of the California Legislative Jewish Caucus, is quite clearly a pro-Israel public education censorship bill that weaponizes false charges of anti-Semitism by conflating it with criticism of the State of Israel and effectively erasing Palestinian identity, culture, and history. The authors of AB 715 refused to even consider the views and input of the coalition, despite multiple attempts to schedule meetings with author Senator Zabur's office to discuss their considerable concerns. And regardless of having made a public commitment to working on the bill with those in opposition at the Assembly Education Committee hearing in May, as a result, Palestinian voices, community members, and ethnic studies teachers, the people who will be most impacted by the bill's restrictions, have been completely excluded and erased from the legislative process. A statewide effort is now encouraging Governor Gavin Newsom to veto the bill, which is now on his desk, and that campaign is in full throttle. We are very fortunate to be joined today by two of the many leaders of this months-long campaign to amend or reject Assembly Bill 715, and now, of course, to veto it. Our guests today are Samer Arabi and Seth Morrison. Samer Arabi is a member of the Arab Resource and Organizing Center, or AROC, and the Research Director for Accountability Council, a human and environmental rights organization. He formerly worked as Government Relations Manager for the Arab American Institute in Washington, D.C., and as a Project Manager for the Syrian Assistance Coordination Unit and the Italian Ministry of Foreign Affairs. Samer has also worked as an independent researcher producing reports on local governance in conflict zones and the political economy of ceasefires, and briefed government ministries, international agencies, and UN Security Council members on his findings. It is my great pleasure to welcome Samer Arabi to Middle East in Focus.
Thank you so much. It's really great to be here.
Also joining our conversation today is my JVP Action colleague, Seth Morrison. Seth Morrison is a national board member of Jewish Voice for Peace Action and a member leader in the San Francisco Bay Area chapter of Jewish Voice for Peace. Seth had long been active in Jewish and Zionist organizing when in 2011, he realized that liberal Zionism was not working and he joined Jewish Voice for Peace, or JVP. Seth is now retired from a long career in consumer marketing for the cable television industry, but is remaining very busy organizing for Palestinian equality and liberation with multiple coalitions and organizations. It is my good fortune to work with and to welcome my dear friend and colleague, Seth Morrison, back to Middle East in Focus.
The pleasure is totally mutual.
So let's dive in, you guys. There's a lot to discuss with this really frightening piece of legislation. Last week, Sammer, United Teachers of Los Angeles, which represents 35,000 educators of over 550,000 students in over 1,000 schools in 31 cities in our sprawling metropolis, sent a memo urging Governor Newsom to veto AB 715, laying out some of their concerns about the legislation. They point out that the bill disrespects Latino, Black, Indigenous, and AAPI students, amongst others, by establishing a singular anti-Semitism prevention coordinator to investigate discrimination complaints. In fact, AB 715 mentions discrimination against Israeli students four times, yet only mentions discrimination against community of color, who are in fact the majority of students in California's public schools, once. That, of course, includes Arab, Muslim, and Palestinian American students whose families are being murdered in what the United Nations described last month as, quote, Israel's genocide in Gaza. Sammer, can you discuss some of the serious harms that would be caused by this flaw in AB Assembly Bill 715, please?
Of course. And, you know, there's no shortage, frankly. It's not surprising that we're hearing, you know, various teachers' unions have all come out against it. But this bill is structured in such a way that it is such a liability for the education system as a whole, that not only are we seeing teachers' unions all sort of unanimously more or less coming out against it, but also school boards, right? The fact that the school boards, associations, and the teachers' unions agree on how problematic this bill is should tell you a lot. There are not many issues where the school boards and the teachers' unions are in lockstep, but this happens to be one of them. And it's just the way the language of this bill is constructed, right? The sort of slapdash, last-minute attempt to throw together some sort of legislation to continue to try to defend Israel from criticism, right? And that's very clearly what this is. We can get into the whole history of how we got here and the many turns and twists this bill has taken to get to this particular version. But the fact that it's so poorly thought out, it's so dangerous, it's such like a Trump-like version of you can't say the wrong things or we're going to punish these schools is terrifying, right? It should terrify all of us. It has terrible implications, not only for the students in our educational system, but also for the teachers, the broader community members, the school and like city, county resources that are going to get pulled into these inevitable legal battles is really concerning. And as you said, I think this focus on anti-Semitism as this singular issue, divorced from everything else, divorced from like a broader sense of what, you know, racism, discrimination, any of these things would otherwise be, does not only a disservice to all of the communities that are facing these really horrific situations, right? As you said, not least of all, Palestinian, Muslim, Arab students that are, you know, unimaginable levels of not only, you know, racism, discrimination that we're hearing about in schools, but also violence. That's right. In ways that, frankly, are totally underreported, right?
That's right.
You know, we know the number of people who are reporting anti-Arab or anti-Palestinian racism is very, very low because often it's the public officials themselves that are committing those acts, so they don't feel safe reporting it. Putting that aside, you know, not only like is this such a disservice to all of those communities because it doesn't acknowledge them, but it does a real disservice to combating anti-Semitism, which
That's
itself
right.
is real, by divorcing it from everything else to make it this sort of exceptional thing that exists, you know, in this weird little cloud that isn't part of this broader anti-racism understanding of how society works, but also by conflating it with Israel, like you said, right? Like the examples they use are specifically about Israelis feeling bad
right.
about being told that their country is committing a genocide. And like, that's not anti-Semitism, you know, and there's real anti-Semitism
right.
that gets swept under the rug when we do things like that.
I'd like to actually hop into that with you, Seth, because another fault in AB 715 is the bill's backdoor adoption of censorship by failing to explicitly define anti-Semitism while supporting the U.S. national strategy to counter anti-Semitism, which is a document that embraces the International Holocaust Remembrance Alliance, or IHRA, examples of anti-Semitism, which include many conflations between criticisms of the State of Israel and anti-Semitism. So can you discuss about how adoption of the IHRA definition would violate the First Amendment even?
Sure, but before I do that, let me take a minute and build on something that Samer said, which is that earlier versions of this bill were much worse. So for the tens of thousands of Californians who emailed or called their legislator, your work was not in vain. We took a terrible bill and made it bad. Now, still not good. We still have to work to veto it. So your calls and emails to the governor over the next few days are very, very important. Now, to your question, Esty, the IHRA definition was designed to protect Israel from criticism. So I can say that the government of China or North Korea or Iran did something bad, whatever your belief about those countries is. But if I say that Israel did something bad, oh my God, I'm anti-Semitic. And if people talk about words like genocide and ethnic cleansing, which have been documented by some of the most important authorities in the world, again, they can be shut down, whether that's a student or a teacher. A student could be called up on disciplinary charges if she asks about what's happening in Gaza and happens to use the word ethnic cleansing.
Yeah, it's crazy. You're listening to Middle East in Focus on listener-supported KPFK in Los Angeles. I'm Esty Chandler, very grateful to be joined today by two fantastic California human rights activists, Samer Arabi, a member from the Arab Resource and Organizing Center, and Seth Morrison, JVP Action board member, about the pro-Israel California Public Education Censorship Bill, Assembly Bill 715, which is now on Governor Newsom's desk for his signature or hopefully his veto. Folks, KPFK is in our fall fund drive right now, and as we are all witnessing and experiencing the rapid deterioration of our First Amendment freedoms, including press freedoms, we need your support more than ever to stay on the air and continue bringing you independent reporting and analysis from voices like those of our guests today, Seth Morrison and Samer Arabi. The Trump administration and Project 2025 are clear about their desires to dismantle civil society organizations and public media outlets, which have long been targets of the far right, who famously prefer alternative facts. In fact, Project Esther lays out their specific plans to dismantle the Palestinian Solidarity Movement, which California Assembly Bill 715 aids. KPFK belongs to all of us. This station belongs to the community who funds, contributes content, and interacts with our shows. We all need this community more than ever to help us cull through the barrage of distractions and disinformation being thrown at us, aiming to make us feel dejected and powerless. This community has kept Middle East in Focus on the air for over 40 years and KPFK alive for 75 years. So I'm asking you to help us remain on the air at this crucial time by donating whatever you can afford. No donation is too small. If you appreciate our programming, if you depend on our reporting, if our music and cultural shows get you through your days, please grab your phone now and dial 818-985-5735. That's 818-985-5735, or hop online at kpfk.org to make a pledge and keep us broadcasting. Samer, AB 715 also actually threatens to defund California public education by encouraging lawsuits, as you alluded to, from far-right extremists who cite the bill's language requiring all institutions to be quote, factually accurate, end quote, and, quote, fair and balanced, end quote. Not sure how one defines that. It also mandates teachers not to engage in instruction or activities that could be considered advocacy. So it censors lessons and celebrations of Pride Month, Black History Month, Hispanic Heritage Month, Asian American Pacific Islander Heritage Month, and Indigenous Peoples Day, among other educational events and opportunities. Can you talk about how the factually accurate mandate could be used in lawsuits and lead to more book banning and harmful regressive tools of bigotry and prejudice?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a perfect way of putting it. And it's, you know, it really is this sort of Orwellian language that I think is going to have massive repercussions on our education system. And I think, you know, looking at it broadly, there's something here about why this idea of, you know, PEP or like progressive except for Palestine is such a dangerous kind of underlying ideology, because you have these state senators and other folks, you know, Scott Wiener among them, frankly, that, you know, purport to be these very progressive people, but in their interest in protecting Israel from any criticism are willing to push this bill through that effectively, you know, not only silences criticism of Israel, but like deeply impacts all our other movements. So, you know, I know several friends who are teachers in San Francisco who tell me like they can't fly pride flags anymore, or, you know, Black Lives Matter signs, right? Because those are now falling under this category of, you know, these aren't like factually accurate things, and they're, you know, they're biased and not balanced. And so you end up in the situation where even like really basic respect for our marginalized communities is being swept under the rug in the interest of defending this little settler colony that for whatever reason we're so deeply tied to, which incidentally goes back to, now that I use that phrase, the ways in which this idea of like, you know, like factually accurate is a total misnomer, right? Because who defines what that means? What is in fact factually accurate, and where, you know, where do those lines get drawn and by whom? And it seems very clear that they're drawn very arbitrarily and subjectively, either by this so-called anti-Semitism coordinator that's supposed to be part of this bill, or the legislature that's drafting this language. And, you know, as Seth alluded to, you know, this bill used to be worse. And one of the ways in which it was worse was it laid out specific examples of things that would be prohibited under the bill. And one of them was specifically referring to Israel as a settler colonial state.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, is factually accurate.
Exactly. Exactly.
Like, you know, you, God forbid you use that. They used it as an example of something that was a lie, right?
Right.
So that's like it's purely Orwellian in its orientation. And, you know, I think folk listeners can probably project, right, exactly where that's going to go and how dangerous that'll be, not just for Palestine stuff, but for all our movements.
Yeah, and Seth, ironically, while AB 715 purports to protect Jewish students, the legislation would in fact undermine and discriminate against many Jewish students. Can you talk about how it does that, as well as how the bill was introduced and passed without any respect for notification and hearing rules, in much the same way congressional Republicans and the Trump administration are running roughshod over long-respected legislative norms nationally and ignoring constitutional boundaries?
Sure. On the first part of the question, there are two different answers. The first is that there are many, many American Jews who disagree with Israel and who want to ask, you know, students who want to ask their teachers. So a Jewish student who asks a legitimate question is branded anti-Semitic, or, you know, somebody who's bullying or teasing or whatever. Secondly, when you ask a legitimate question of any nation, you know, I can be critical of Iran, as I said earlier. It doesn't make me Islamophobic. I can be critical of China, and it doesn't mean that I'm in any way against Asians. So there are many, many problems here. In terms of the process, this bill should have been dead months ago. The Jewish caucus was unable to negotiate language that could even get through the legislature. They missed every deadline. And worst of all, they released the language of the bill after the deadline for formal opposition. So as a result, when the legislative analysts looked at the bill, they could talk about why the sponsors wanted it, but very little about why this bill was so bad. So they totally ignored their own rules in order to ram this bill through.
Right. And Samer, a simple reading of AB 715 makes clear that the intended chilling effect that would likely curb teachers' desires to discuss or create lessons on Palestine and Israel, as well as many other topics that might make a particular student uncomfortable or serve people who are looking to initiate litigation, something to litigate back about, like we've seen people who don't want American history of genocide and slavery taught in schools or books also. So can you talk about the dangers of suppression of current events, normalizing extreme oppression and genocide, as well as the harms it could cause to teachers and students alike?
Yeah, I mean, it's part and parcel, I think, of this country's like deepening, you know, relationship with fascism. It's hard to see it as anything else. And this idea, right, that, again, as Seth and I have been saying this whole half hour, like, it's so clear that this bill is just designed for that, right? It's literally only about making sure that people don't criticize this ongoing genocide, right? And trying to kind of carry water for all these horrible crimes that Israel's committing with our tax dollars, you know, and with this government's support. And we see the way that sort of expands out to all the other issues we have, right? This is why I think Palestine organizing is so central to this broader liberationist effort that all of us are undertaking, right? That what we're trying to do here is engage critically with everything. And what they're trying to do is shut down that critical engagement, right? It serves their interests more broadly. This is why it's so in lockstep with what the Trump administration and Project Esther and all these things are trying to do, which is so far beyond just don't criticize Israel, right? It's like, don't criticize, right? No critical thinking, no engagement with systems of power, no trying to push back, right? They just want like happy little consumers. And that's not what our education system is supposed to be. The whole point is to make students feel uncomfortable, right? You're trying to get them to challenge existing beliefs and think critically. And like, this is not only an assault on the freedom of speech of people who are trying to advocate for Palestine, or even students who are trying to learn about, you know, the history of this country and the history of colonialism. It's an assault on the idea of what our education system is supposed to be. And there are few things more important than that, right? Nothing, I feel like, is more important than the education of our youth. And this is such a broadside against it that it's really obvious why this, you know, like why this is so unpopular, why it's been opposed by, you know, the teachers unions, the school boards, community organizations, students, teachers, you name it. Right. Why even the people who voted it through said this is a deeply problematic bill, but we'll fix it later. We're going to vote for it anyway, but we'll fix it later. Like, they know how unpopular this is. Right. And that's an opportunity for us. Right. Given how unpopular it is, given how dangerous it is, there really is an opportunity to push Newsom to do the right thing here. Not because he's like, you know, our greatest ally, but even in his own interests. Right. This could be a liability for him.
Well, you just set me up perfectly for my last question for Seth, which you alluded to earlier, but we need to reiterate. Seth, what can people do to fight the harms of AB 715 and try to prevent it from becoming law?
Pick up your phone, call the governor's office, and demand that he veto this bill. Also, emails are important. Every bit of outreach is essential. And, you know, the governor needs to understand that this bill is totally out of sync with the American people. I mean, the research we're seeing all over the country is that Americans disagree with the genocide. They disagree with what's happening in Gaza. And, you know, there are many moral reasons for the governor to do the right thing. But he also needs to realize that this country has realized it, even if our political leaders haven't. So please, please pick up the phone. Even if you called, call again. If you emailed, email again. This is the crucial week, and this is the time to do it.
Also, use social media. There is a website that you can log on to get more information, to be able to speak about it. It's bit.ly/AB715. bit.ly/AB715. You guys have been heroes in this quest, and I can't thank you enough for taking time out of your Sunday to join us and educate us all on how we can stop a very, very dangerous piece of legislation from becoming law.
The pleasure.
Thank you so much. Really appreciate
the opportunity.
Absolutely.
As Dr. M. Reza Benam wrote last year at the Palestine Chronicle, quote, long before South Africa filed a case against Israel at the International Court of Justice on December 29, 2023, over its genocidal war on Gaza, its iconic anti-apartheid leader, Nelson Mandela, who came to embody the struggle for justice worldwide, stated, Palestine was the greatest moral issue of our time. End quote. Well, three decades have passed since Mandela expressed that sentiment, and today it is abundantly clear that Palestine is undeniably the defining moral issue of this time. And the majority of Americans, as our guests have said, support Palestinians, as well as their equality and self-determination. There are countless things that we don't know about what the future will bring. But one thing we know for sure is that we all need KPFK's independent programming and critical analysis of events. This is the place so many of us come to hear from scientists, journalists, artists, writers, academics, public intellectuals, and activists like our guests today, Samer Arabi and Seth Morrison. In fact, Marlene, a listener in Valley Village, has donated in support of Middle East in Focus and challenges all San Fernando Valley residents to donate as well. Now more than ever, we need our community to band together to keep each other safe and informed, and we need our radio station, KPFK, to continue to widely communicate with one another and understand what is happening in the world around us, because we are all interconnected. Please help us continue to do what we do best, programming, informing, and entertaining by calling 818-985-5735. Press 2 to get to the donation line. That's 818-985-5735, or you can simply log on to kpfk.org and hit the donate button there. Please donate whatever you can afford. Trust me, no donation is too small. It's all of us putting our means together that makes this station work. If you appreciate our programming, if you depend on our independent reporting, if our music and cultural shows get you through your days, please grab your phone now and make a pledge. Help us keep Middle East in Focus, Radio Intifada, Reggae Central, and all of your favorite KPFK shows on the air. Once again, I want to thank our guests, Seth Morrison, National Board Member of Jewish Voice for Peace Action, and Samer Arabi, Research Director for Accountability Council, and representing the Arab Resource and Organizing Center. I also want to thank Ozzy Flamenco for his production support today. Our theme song is The Overture from Summer Night's Dream by Marcel Khalife. For KPFK Los Angeles, I'm Esti Chandler, thanking you for your continued support of KPFK and for taking this time to put the Middle East in focus.
KPFK's Fund Drive is in full